Tired of buying a bunch of different shorts for working out, looking good, and just life in general? Try Bird Dogs. They feel like gym shorts, but look like khaki shorts. The ultra-breathable fabric keeps you cool, and the built-in liner is an added layer of support. To top it all off, Bird Dog shorts look so good, you can wear them anywhere. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB, promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
Prepare for a righteous reckoning in the new season of the HBO original series, The Righteous Gemstones. When the spoiled gemstone children finally get their wish to take control of the church, they discover leadership is harder than they imagined, and that their extravagant lifestyle comes with a heavy price. Starring Danny McBride, John Goodman, Edie Patterson, and Adam Devine. Watch the all-new season of The Righteous Gemstones this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern on Max. Subscription required. Visit max.com for details.
Good morning. It's a Friday. We have already done some pre-celebrating with you. If you don't mind, we've really done it on your behalf. And if you do mind, well, there's nothing I can do about it. Now, we've gone ahead and we've marked the fact that it was close to the weekend. We call it the happy almost Friday moment. Jay and I celebrate it when we become conscious on Thursday afternoon. Happy almost Friday. But then when we officially get to Friday, it's an even bigger party. Well, it's a party in my brain. Anyway, welcome to your Friday. If you're waking up, oh goodness, it's almost the last full weekend, or the last weekend of spring, I should say, because even though we started partying hardy like it's summertime, it's not actually until next Wednesday. It's been a good week on the air. We've had a lot of connections with you on our social media, a lot more phone calls in the last week and a half than we've had in forever, and that's great. I can do shows without them. I don't need them. Sometimes they're counterproductive. But this week and even late last week, we've had some really good phone calls that have contributed a lot. And a good chunk of the calls have been about the situation in Oakland with the A's. If you didn't hear the latest, the governor of Nevada has now signed the bill that will provide nearly $400 million in public taxpayer money to fund the stadium, partly fund the stadium on the strip. Because the governor signed the bill passed by the legislature in Nevada, and they actually had a special 7-day session. And they got together so that they could do this whole bill, right? Now that it's been passed into law by the governor, the commissioner of baseball is speaking out, as is the mayor of Oakland, who is firing back. So we'll let you hear from both of them. Maybe the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but they're telling two completely different stories. And honestly, Rob Manfred seems disingenuous to me and also really snarky about the fans in Oakland. It's not a good look when you're a commissioner to be snarky. As a commissioner, you're supposed to be above that, I think. When you're a position of leadership, maybe take the high road a little bit. And given his track record, I'm not sure he has anything to be snarky about. But it's clear that Major League Baseball owners and the league as a whole want a team in Vegas, because right now it's considered an untapped revenue stream for their sport, but they believe there's more potential. It's green with envy. So it's money is green to be sure, grass is greener, but they're also green with envy as they watch what the Golden Knights are getting, the treatment they're getting, but also as they see what's happening with the Raiders and their brand new stadium. No doubt they wanted to send a team or land a team in Vegas. And it's clear that the owner of the A's wasn't trying all that hard, at least not in recent seasons. Okay, so maybe in the past, you could say that he wasn't fully convinced that the team needed to move. But it's clear that from the moves he's made over the last couple years, the goal is to move the team elsewhere and to make it as difficult as possible, to put up as many roadblocks as possible for fans and for the city to keep the team in Oakland. And so we'll let you hear from both the commissioner as well as the mayor of Oakland, who again is fighting back. Ultimately, the Coliseum is the issue. It's not a baseball-only stadium. It's in very poor condition. And even if they were to renovate it, it still wouldn't be a baseball-only ballpark. There's a lot of reasons why they need to move out of the Coliseum. But I don't believe that fans won't show up in Oakland. We saw it with the Warriors and Oracle. A winning product on the court, and fans showed up in droves. One of the hottest tickets in the NBA for 8-plus years. And it's always been one of the great arenas. But the Warriors departed and went to San Francisco. They didn't get the new arena they wanted. They wanted to capitalize on all their success and get a new arena. The Raiders left. Now, Mark Davis almost moved the Raiders to L.A. Remember, he was the odd man out or the odd owner out when Stan Kroenke moved the Rams to L.A. Another team was going. They were going to have, similar to what happened with MetLife, right, the Giants and the Jets. They weren't going to get two NFL stadiums in the area, and so instead they share one. And not a perfect plan, but it's a gorgeous new home in L.A., and another team was going. And if you remember the politics about it all, the owners were campaigning for votes on either side. Mark Davis was ticked. I remember being on the air the night that Mark Davis is speaking out about the fact that his team didn't get the votes to go to Vegas, but that the Chargers did with Dean Spanos or the Spanos family. So Davis has wanted to move his team out of Oakland for a long time. Again, the NFL not wanting them to play in a stadium that they didn't solely habitate by themselves, right? They didn't want to share the stadium with baseball because of the dirt on the field, which was obviously the infield in the middle of the football field. So the NFL had been saying that for years. Well, they weren't going to get a new stadium in Oakland. In fact, the Niners ended up moving an hour south to Santa Clara. And so the Raiders leave. And again, Davis wanted to do that for a while. And now the A's are following suit. But don't believe it for a second when Rob Manfred tells you that he feels badly for Oakland fans. Oh, he's snarky. It's a joke. I don't like it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've been doing a lot of talking because, you know, our motto here on the show is when people talk, good things happen. So we've been talking a lot about that, and we'll get around to it again. Just went over the U.S. Open. In a few hours, they'll start round number two. Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele on top of the leaderboard with -8. That's not what the USGA wants. I wonder if there were USGA officials staying up all night conspiring to make the course more challenging on Friday. And actually, they had quite a wind, and it wasn't this nice, friendly, light breeze to keep you cool. Nah, it was a wind that could affect the trajectory of shots. So there were players that were backing off of their shots in the fairway sometimes because the wind would kick up. So it wasn't the most perfect conditions in terms of the weather, but it was perfect for scoring low. How low can you? They were doing the limbo. How low can you go at the U.S. Open in L.A.? We've been talking a little bit about the Nuggets and their championship parade, and I know the headlines were, hey, someone got shot or shots were fired. A police officer got hit by a fired truck. But ultimately, that's a very small minority of people who attempt to steal the headlines. Instead, you know who stole the show? Mike Malone. Oh, fantastic, this guy. He will not let it go. Will not let it go that Nikola Jokic did not earn a third straight MVP award.
You guys know he's stat pads, right? And you guys know he didn't win a third in a row MVP because the voters didn't want to vote for him. This guy right here, this guy right here is an amazing player, but I hope you all know him, Natalia, their daughter, their brothers, their family, they are a huge part of Denver. So let's give it up for Nikola Jokic.
Oh, we cut him off. Sorry, coach. Actually, Nikola Jokic had to do a mea culpa because he had said, going back to Tuesday night that they won. Oh, it was Monday night that they won the title, right? Because the Knights were on Tuesday. So he had said after he won his MVP award that he didn't want to stick around for a parade. He wanted to go home. Oh, well, he realizes the error of his ways now.
You know that I told that I don't want to stay on parade, but I want to stay on parade. This is the best. This is we're all going to remember this our whole lives.
I didn't even know he knew any bad words. I would say this. Game 5, second half. It was fourth quarter, I believe. He was throwing a fit on the bench. And it was actually Jeff Green that caught him to calm down because they had once again seen the Heat score 8 points in a row. And he was so angry about their defense. So he did actually get really fired up. But we don't obviously hear that side of him very often. Malone, though, he's been salty for months. He's been waiting just to unload and unleash on everybody.
I've dreamed about this day since I got here 8 years ago. So I want to say, Nuggets Nation, I love you. Nuggets Nation, let's do it again. We're not satisfied. We don't want one, we want two. We don't want one, we want two. We don't want one, we want two.
What a great day to celebrate a championship, but we're not done yet. We're some greedy bastards, baby. We're some greedy bastards. We're getting another one, and I'm out.
This greedy bastard is out.
And I'm out.
Oh, my goodness. We already have candidates from Mike Malone for the next After Hours Hall of Flame induction. But these are classic. When I tell you he stole the show, it's not just what he said about Nikola Jokic or about winning more championships, being a greedy bastard. I think my favorite actually might have been when, and I don't know if someone brought it up or why, but I think just because he was introducing the various players as they were getting to the microphone, and it was Bruce Brown's turn, and he wanted everyone to know, since Bruce Brown is a free agent, that he can't go anywhere.
Hey, y'all tell me, is Brucey B going anywhere? Hell no. Hell no. Hell no. Hey, we run this back. We run this back.
His voice is like dying. It's dying a slow, painful death. And he's just all about it and cannot, nor should he at this point. If you want to take the microphone and cuss up a storm, do what makes you happy. But it reminds it of a Sean McVay who went on the whole run it back tantrum. Remember a couple years ago when the Rams won the championship? He was like, run it back.
Oh, yeah. Run it back.
And then compare that to Mike Malone, who won't say run it back. Instead, he goes and takes it a little bit farther and is talking about how we're going to run this, you know, back. Wait, I want to hear him. Jay, go. Jay. Jay's flustered. I asked for something. He can't do it. What happened? Where's my run it back?
I'm getting McVay drops. I'm getting them cutting through 45 different folders.
45. Okay. Let's not be melodramatic in there. Just play me some more Mike Malone, please. Run it back. I can't say the other word. Jay, what are you doing in there?
What a great day to celebrate a championship, but we're not done yet. We're some greedy bastards, baby. We're some greedy bastards. We're getting another one, and I'm out.
All right, that's not exactly what I wanted. I want it run this bleep back, but we'll save it for later in the hour. I was just trying to contrast between Sean McVay and Mike Malone, who was plenty salty himself. So, yeah, good stuff from the ticker tape parade. There is a little more that will drop in at the end of the hour because I'm kind of feeling like you win championships, you get to be part of the boom moments of the week. Now, on this edition of the show, because there's coaching news and because Mike Malone has been in the spotlight here, it's been 8 years. He's talked about those 8 years and believing that this was a possibility. This was always the dream, always a goal. He obviously made a difference, but there have been a lot of championship coaches in the NBA who've been fired. It's what have you done for me lately? It's not about patience. It's not about grace. It's not about waiting to see a team come together. He didn't lead the Nuggets to the playoffs the first 3 years that he was there in Denver, but they gave him the room and the time and the patience, and look where they are now. So that's just one group of coaching headlines. Also, what we heard last night is that Greg Berhalter is returning as the manager of the U.S. men's national team. They kind of flirted with some others, some interim managers, and Greg was set to take a managing job with another club. I'm not sure if it was in the U.S. or internationally, but he was set to take another job, and it had pulled out a couple days ago. Well, now we know why. After its investigation into the situation with the Reyna family and a situation in his past in which it's before he was married, but his then girlfriend, they'd gotten into an altercation. U.S. soccer had to do its due diligence, and now they feel like enough time has passed, they want the guy back. And so even as the men's national team is playing against Mexico, this was on Paramount Plus, by the way, Christian Pulisic with a pair of goals, the USA blanked Mexico, its chief rival. And what are they talked about? What are they asked about as they come off the pitch? Well, they're asked about this rumor that Greg Berhalter is returning as manager. Here's Tim Weah.
Honestly, I didn't hear any information yet. We just got back into the locker room and just enjoyed the moment. So I guess we'll see.
If he were to come back, how would you feel?
As I said before, happy, of course.
All right, so Tim Weah didn't really know anything about it, but if Berhalter was tapped again to be the manager, I mean, this is a guy who led the U.S. team to 37 wins, 11 losses, 12 draws, right? So he was in the middle of and the knockout stage of the World Cup. He was in the middle of discussing a contract with the U.S. Soccer Federation when everything happened with the Reyna family, and they came after him. You may remember the story. Anyway, it was personal, to be sure. So now Berhalter, if you believe the reports, will be returning as manager, though not everyone's on board. He used to be Captain America. Clint Dempsey of previous U.S. men's national teams, he's not sure this is the right idea.
I'm confused because you either did something bad enough that lost you the job or caused these interim coaches to be in play, or you didn't. And if you go back with Berhalter, then we've wasted a lot of time. Why have we wasted this much time to just go back with who we had in the beginning? But saying that, even after the World Cup, I did think he did a good job getting out of the group. We were outcoached in the Holland match, but still,
we've gotten out of the group before.
Yeah, we have, but this is a team that a lot of them was their very first World Cup.
Okay,
you know what I mean? It's the golden generation,
the youngest team, and we'll see
if that's the case. So, but at the same time, moving forward, I even said then, we need to be graded upon how we do in Copa America and how we do in CONCACAF Nations League. And then if they're not getting the job done, then someone new needs to come in. But I'm confused by the decisions.
So Clint Dempsey, one of the best U.S. soccer players of all time on the men's side, part of that coverage on Paramount Plus, and isn't really sure, you know, what was the point of all of this. So even as the Americans beat Mexico to reach the Nations League final, that's CONCACAF, against Canada, actually, there's this, I don't know if we can call it controversy, but just this breaking news that kind of usurped the game itself or the match itself. So there are a lot of different coaching headlines, managing headlines out there because of the success of the Rangers this year. I tend to give a lot of credit to Bruce Bochy, who came out of retirement, so to speak, to coach the Rangers or to manage the Rangers. I feel the same way about Bruce Cassidy and him joining the Golden Knights and what a difference that made. So our question on this edition of the show, and we're getting a lot of cool answers, when you think about managers and coaches who can make an immediate impact when they step on the property, In the lockhouse. No one's getting locked in the lockhouse. In the locker rooms, in the clubhouse. See what I did there? They have credibility immediately because of their past, because of their playing days, because of the success they've had in previous stops, whatever it is. They make a difference immediately. Doug Peterson in Jacksonville definitely has that track record now. I think D'Amico Ryans in for the Texans will too. who are the best coaches and managers in sports. I don't care which sport we're talking about, just looking for a names. And I love that you all are weighing in again on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll let you hear from Rob Manfred and the mayor of Oakland, to have a bit of a war of words, even as the A's move to Vegas is becoming closer to reality. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's S-E-E-W-H-Y.
Hey, can you hear me?
Okay, good. Well, so can your potential customers, right here on your Odyssey station. You might be used to skipping social ads, but you are still listening to me right now. And so are your clients. To learn how to drive more business and how Odyssey can help get your message to your customers, visit stateofaudio.com. That's stateofaudio.com.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
Tonight was as close to a playoff crowd as I think I've experienced managing a game, and the energy, the atmosphere was you know, everything that the stadium can be.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mark Kotze reacting to the 28,000 strong at the Oakland Coliseum on Tuesday night as part of the reverse boycott, and Jay looked it up. Going back to the Coliseum in 2019, there was a World Card. Oh, heavens. Too much talk of the World Cup. There was a wild card game between the A's and the Rays that included 54,000 of their closest friends. So there certainly is potential there if the team is a winner. And I know it's a debate. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is it the poor team that chases away the fans? Is it the stadium? Is it the facility? Who bears the blame and the responsibility for this not being a proposal that instead of moving the team to Vegas, they've got a new stadium there in Oakland? It's not like this is a new problem. So has the city of Oakland dragged its feet or done enough? Is this on the ownership? And there's probably truth in both of those finger-pointing objectives. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. So, yes, the fans were there. They were loud. They were raucous. They were chanting, sell the team, loud enough that you could hear it over the radio call. But the Nevada governor has signed the bill into law that will provide $400 million in public funding for a new baseball stadium on the Strip. The only hurdle that still stands in the A's way, and this is no hurdle at all, the baseball owners have to approve it. They will. I have no doubt. And Rob Manfred, that's why he's got the greasy smile on his face. And when he says he feels bad for the fans in Oakland, I don't believe him.
I feel sorry for the fans in Oakland. I do not like this outcome. I understand why they feel the way they do. I think that the real question is, what is it that Oakland was prepared to do? There is no Oakland offer. okay? I mean, they never got to the point where they had a plan to build a stadium at any site. And it's not just John Fisher. You don't build a stadium based on the club activity alone. The community has to provide support. And, you know, at some point you come to the realization it's just not going to happen.
Now, when he says he feels badly for the fans in Oakland, maybe you might take him at his word there until you hear his response to the question about the reverse boycott on Tuesday. Not only was he not watching it at the time that it unfolded, and that's okay. I mean, that's what DVRs are for. That's why we have on-demand and digital options. So I wouldn't expect him to be available to watch every single game. He's got a league to run. But with the follow-up question from a reporter, it's obvious that he's being really snarky about the number of fans who attended on Tuesday.
Did you watch the Rays-A's game on Tuesday when the fans came out for the reverse boycott?
I was actually at a dinner with the owners.
Did you read the coverage?
I did.
I saw the impression of that.
You know, I mean, it was great. It's great to see what is this year, you know, almost an average Major League Baseball crowd in the facility for one night. That's a great thing.
Ralph! He made it very clear. He wasn't trying to hide his sarcasm. He was saying it was almost an average crowd at the stadium for one night.
That's a great thing.
As in whoop-de-doo. As in yippee, ha-ha, wee. He made it very clear that he didn't think that was impressive at all and that he doesn't believe the fans can sustain it. And over the course of the press conference, there was much laughter. Oh, dear. I'm coming unraveled as we wrap up the week. There was much laughing. There was a lot of just kind of uncomfortable laughs directed at the questions from the media. It felt disingenuous. He felt snarky to me. And I think mostly what he and the owners care about is putting a team in Vegas. I don't think it matters how they do it. They're just looking at what the NHL and the NFL have achieved. And they want a piece of that pie. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I will agree with him on this point. The Coliseum should not be housing a baseball team.
The ballpark's not a major league facility. I've said it repeatedly. I think particularly I met down in a room kind of in the bowels of the stadium. You get out in the bowels of the stadium where the clubhouses are. It's not a major league facility.
It's not. And the A's deserve to have a new stadium. But according to the mayor of Oakland, they not only were trying to make this happen, they got blindsided by the A's agreement with Vegas. That's what city officials told us going back, I guess, a couple months now. But not only did the mayor say that the city wants to keep the team, but Shang Tao says they've tried. They've tried a whole lot of different ways, different incentives and enticement, but that the owner is not interested.
There was a very concrete proposal under discussion, and Oakland had gone above and beyond to clear every single hurdle that the ownership put in front of us, including securing funding for infrastructure, providing an environmental review, and working with other agencies to finalize approvals. The reality in this is that the A's ownership had insisted on a multi-billion dollar 55-acre project that included a ballpark, residential, commercial, and retail. Whereas in Las Vegas, for whatever reason, they seem to be satisfied with only 9-acre lease ballpark on leased land. If they had proposed a similar project in Oakland as what they have proposed in Las Vegas, I can guarantee you that Oakland would have the construction would have already began.
So I think that part is interesting. The difference between what the owner of the A's wanted in Oakland versus what he's willing to take in Las Vegas. Now, I said this earlier, I don't know the reasons, but maybe part of it is that in Vegas, the ballpark will be on the strip. It's right there in the middle of everything. And so there are hotels already in place. And there's probably not as much room to expand, but there are hotels in place. There's corporate There's commercial. There's real estate there. So the fans are already around. Now, will he get a piece of it? No, not the way that some of these other team owners, and this is not unique to baseball, but you see it with Atlanta, right? The complex that they built around the stadium, they had to move it out of the city so that they could it could be in the suburbs with all the bells and whistles. Bob Kraft is building up around Foxborough, right? Building the same kind of thing. Strip malls and, well, maybe it is a full mall, and retail and condos, and they want it to be a complex and a community, not just a stadium. And so what Sheng Tao is saying is, hey, if he'd asked us what he's getting from Vegas, we would already be building it. But that's not what he wanted. He wanted everything else, the trimmings, right? So it's like a Christmas tree, but you got to have the lights and the tinsel and the ornaments, and then you've got to have the skirt around the bottom and the presents that spread out from the tree. Maybe you have to have a train running under the tree too. It's not just the actual tree. And Sheng Tao looks at what the fans did as part of the reverse boycott and believes that that's evidence that the team should stay put.
It's been clear for a while that the owners of the A's wanted to move the team to Las Vegas or any other place, if we're talking about that, right? But we in Oakland now know better than anyone that there is a long pathway between passing state legislation, which we have, and shovels in the ground. And so I do firmly believe that the A's belong here in Oakland. And more than 20,000 fans this week agreed. More than 27,000 fans this week agreed. They showed up in a huge reverse boycott, which was extremely explosive and electrifying. And if the owners and league want a team in Vegas, sure, Vegas deserve a team, but they should also approve an expansion team and let the A's stay in their home of more than a half a century.
Yeah, I mean, I actually do feel for the fans in Oakland, even if the commissioner does not, because if the A's do move to Vegas, which it seems like it's a done deal now once the stadium is built, they will have lost three teams in the last 5 years. And again, I'm not saying this is all on the owner of the A's. I think there's some blame to be passed out, certainly, with the city. We know that there's been a conversation between the A's and the city and about the Coliseum for years. It's not a baseball-only facility, and that's not what baseball wanted. It's not what the NFL wanted. They didn't want to share it. And so there's plenty of finger-pointing that can be done, but the fans kind of caught in the middle of it all. They certainly showed up for the Warriors. They can show up for a winner. We've seen that before. In America, we love winners. We get bandwagon jumpers when a team is winning.
Oracle has turned into Oracle.
So it sucks for the fans. And we've had quite an emotional and violent reaction from some. If you want to find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too, and then we've taken a bunch of calls, but we're happy to connect with you over this. The move will happen at some point down the road. By 2028, in the new stadium is the goal, but their lease runs out in Oakland in 24, which means they're going to have to, well, the plan is for them to play in a minor league stadium for several seasons. Doesn't even seat 10,000. It's their AAA facility. So it's emotional to be sure every time this happens, but it keeps happening more and more. Not in baseball. They haven't had a team move in 20 years, almost 20 years, but keeps happening to Oakland fans. All right, straight ahead. Is Andy Reid one of those coaches that makes an immediate impact? He's got another ring. So does Patrick Mahomes, who helped design the Chiefs' new rings. And then boom moments of the week as we crowned two champions earlier this week. Happy Friday to you. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Come on, click, boom.
As we wrap up the week, we contemplate the mysteries of the universe.
Boom. I just laid down the A-Law. Boom.
The best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines. A direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown. Foles caught the ball.
And you're fire.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. The greatest sports show in America.
Boom.
After Hours presents the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Boom!
Inbound. Over to Struess. Lowry three. That one misses. Rebound down to KCP. 8 seconds left to go. Casey's across the timeline. And he'll dribble it out. The 47-year wait is over. The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world. They are champions. And Nuggets fans from sea to shining sea can rest or die in peace. Oh my God, I can't believe they did it.
Pause for 2 seconds, take your headsets off, and just listen to this crowd.
Roger.
Wow.
They talk about dreaming. The Golden Knights are going to make that dream a reality. A devotion to destiny. Misfits to champions. The Vegas Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup in 2023. The first Stanley Cup championship in Golden Knights history comes in their sixth season. The Silver State is home to the greatest silver trophy in all of sports. The mob is behind Adin Hill's goal. All the players swarming one another, jubilant in celebration. The fans on their feet can't stop.
Two incredible boom moments as we wrap up the hoops and hockey seasons. First, we've got Jason Kosmicki and company on Nuggets Radio, and then Dan Duva on the Golden Knights Radio Network. Congratulations to both of those first-time championship winners of the Larry O'Brien Trophy and the Stanley Cup. And the Stanley Cup, no doubt, will be trotted out. One, they celebrate on the Strip in Vegas on Saturday night under the lights. OMG, that's going to be a scene. Let's hope no one gets run over by a fire truck. That was part of what was happening in Denver on Thursday afternoon. So this is why we put a little extra emphasis on the ticker tape parade with the Nuggets, only because they just had it on Thursday. Jamal Murray, he took to Instagram Live to express his emotion.
I was going to say something, but I think actions speak louder than words, man. Come on, look at this. First time Nugget history champs. This is the group to do it off ACL. Come on, man. Let's go.
I love Jamal Murray's part of this. I love the redemption story for Jamal. It's pretty incredible. For Reggie Jackson, this is his hometown.
Glad to be home. This isn't real. I'm so happy for my state. I'm so happy for my city.
And then one more time, can we not hear from Jokic? Because how often do we get Jokic dropping F-bombs? But yeah, he no longer wants to go home. He wants to keep parading.
You know that I told that I don't want to stay on parade, but I want to stay on parade. This is the best. this is amazing. This is, we're all going to remember this our whole lives.
We're so cheap around here at After Hours. We snag so much Hall of Flame material from ticker tape parades where clearly alcohol is a factor. Although no one was throwing the trophy over water, so I don't think at least that was a danger like Tom Brady and the Bucks did. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What's up, buds?
Steve, still my favorite, though, was the Capitals in 18. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, too. We've been asking you about coaches and managers who make an immediate impact, and we're going to get to some of your answers. A few people did mention Andy Reid, and even as the Chiefs get their ring ceremony in private, I guess once you've done it publicly on the field, well, you don't need to parade it out there anymore. Now, you're two-time champs. You could act like you've been there, done that. So it was a private ceremony with the rings and the Super Bowl bling for the Chiefs last night.
I look at what's real. I mean, we had 99% of the team here, except for Chris. Everybody was here and working hard. And so that's the important thing to me. I mean, everything else we can talk about, but they're here working. And we've got good leadership in that locker room. that they know this is all nice. White House was nice. That's history.
It's history now for Andy Reid. I mean, I think that attitude is one reason why he's such an effective coach. Patrick Mahomes actually was a part of the design of the Super Bowl rings.
I don't know about the top coming off, but it's they're pretty cool. I think they did a great job. I haven't got to see the final product, but I got to see kind of the process of it and gave some ideas and stuff like that. So they did a great job. And like I said, I mean, even with whatever they look like, you get to have them forever, and they mean the world. So, I mean, it's cool to be able to have two of them now.
Justin's is the maker of these rings. Each one contains 613 diamonds, 609 round diamonds and 4 marquee diamonds, and 35 rubies. Each ring totals 16.1 carats. And obviously they've got all these extra little features that include the removable top. So that's what Patrick Mahomes was saying. He was part of designing it. He hadn't seen it at that point because that was pre-ceremony. But the removable top of the ring turns into a pendant that looks like Arrowhead Stadium. Stop it.
That's awesome.
Are you serious? And then each player's name is in gold along with a row of 13 diamonds. So congratulations to them. They do have one for Eric Bieniemy, who now has moved on to the Washington Commanders, but of course was a major part of this. We'll have more football news, I'm sure, after the weekend, even though the NFL tells us they're on a break. Some of your responses about the coaches and managers in sports who can step on the scene and immediately make an impact. So the best ones across any sport. Pam says Tito, Terry Francona, who was with the Red Sox and now with the Guardians. Dawn says Brandon Hyde with the Orioles, and then Bill Belichick has kept the Pats competitive despite their lack of talent. Scott says what Mike Brown did in Sacramento this season was incredible. Eric on Facebook goes with Dusty Baker, Buck Showalter, Phil Jackson, Jimmy Johnson, even Joe Torre, to name a few. Let's see, another vote for Mike Brown, another one for Terry Francona. Ben says Kyle Shanahan. Imagine if his quarterbacks could stay healthy or if he got a legendary one. Carlotta goes with Greg Popovich. Let's see. Michael goes with Kim Mulkey, women's college basketball. Glenn says he believes Nathaniel Hackett after that fiasco. No, done in Denver, that his replacement, Sean Payton, will make an immediate impact. And you'll see the difference from the Hackett year to the Payton year with the Broncos. Jamie on Facebook says Mike Tomlinson.
The great.
I think he means Mike Tomlin and also Nick Saban. And then Greg agrees with Mike Tomlin. A few of them on our Twitter page, A-Law Radio. Also, Mike Brown with the Kings. Bill Self with the Kansas Jayhawks, of course. Doug Peterson, that one comes from John on Twitter. Lee says, I have to go with Scott Servais of the Mariners. Todd goes with Pat Riley, Phil Jackson. Donna with Pete Carroll. Oh, yeah. Eric Spoelstra, Bruce Bochy. And then Mark Few of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. And then let's see, there are a few others. Bobby Cox is another one from a Braves fan. And then Becca says, being from Buffalo, I have to mention Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, but she also says Don Granato for the Buffalo Sabres. So really good answers. Thank you so much for all of your responses. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again Sunday night here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio. Boom!